Well, it's definitely a great morning to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen? I'm a little nervous because this is my very first time that I'm going to be presenting in front of a church. And I'm not here to preach. It's just a message. More than half of it I'm probably going to end up reading. But like I said, it is my first time. And starting off, I would definitely like to have us open our Bibles to Ephesians 5, and I will be reading verses 22 to 33. And it says this, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church. And he is a savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water, by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Amen. Well, we're talking about marriage this morning. And some of you may say, "Well, I'm single. Why would it really matter to me right now?" And I'll tell you why. I'll actually give you about three reasons as to why. There was an ongoing research that the University of Michigan did on graduating high school seniors since 2013. And they came up that 78% of high school girls and 78% of high school boys said that having a healthy and functional marriage was and is extremely important to them, which is quite interesting because some of these percentages were actually true since the 1970s. And some people may say, "Well, I don't know if young people nowadays want to really be married." Oh, yes, you do. You do want to be married. Your generation tends to get married a little bit later because there's some fear attached to marriage, but you want to get married. The other thing is that some of you are either going to get married or are getting married, and most of you will in the next 10 to about 12 years are going to get married. Most people get married today in their mid-20s, so there's a high probability that some of you will get married very soon. Some of you may be saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." He might. The third reason we're talking about it is because in our country, we're surrounded by the fact that we don't know how to be married very well. We face a lot of opposition. And we've seen it before that marriage is under attack. If we look at it, if we look at its created intent, we don't or we shouldn't look at ourselves and ask, "Well, what do I think about marriage or what would it really look like?" That would be like asking my 3-year-old niece, "Hey, what's very nutritional for you?" If it would be up to her, she would eat cake and candy all day long. So she has no idea what's good for her growth and development, and demonstrably, neither do we whenever it comes to marriage. So much of our philosophies in our countries as for what should work for our marriage are demonstrably not working. But we want our marriages to work well, and that's very important. So what did our Maker really intend? We got to go back to the original intent for marriage. When he gave us marriage, what is marriage for, and how do we do it well? If you look at this passage, Ephesians 5, we see that he quotes Genesis 2 and see that marriage was designed by God, and he quotes it back to the garden. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, God says 7 times, "It is good, it is good, it is good." And then in Genesis chapter 2, you get your first, "It's not good." He says it's not good for man to be alone. Now, Adam had the animals, but I don't think I have to belabor the point that there is a big difference between enjoying a sunset with a beautiful woman and enjoying a sunset with a dog, right? So God says that it's not good for man to be alone because he's meant to be a conduit of God's love and grace into other relationships. He wants to channel his love through man into other relationships. And so God brought along a woman for man to enjoy. And with that, he designed an institution and said, "I will make a helper suitable for him." That means that it fits within him. It's what we see 1 Peter call a fellow heir to the grace of life. He says, "I'm going to give someone like him, yet different." Men and women are different, yet so much that it's meant to fit together physically, obviously, and also spiritually and emotionally. God created male and female to fit together in a way that is designed by God for the delight of humanity. So it's a good thing. When Adam sees Eve, he breaks out into poetry. He says, "I'm Ish and she's Isha. I am man and she's," whoa, "man." So it's a good thing. It's definitely a gift from God. It's something to be appreciated. And so God developed marriage for our own good. He designed it. He is the designer. So let me tell you something. When we use it according to God, it really does work. But we have to make sure that we abide by the word. The word is instruction to how marriage should work. Ephesians teaches us to walk not as unwise, but wise. Wisdom is knowing how the world works and for us to know how we can work well in it. He says we're to walk as people who are wise. We are to understand how God made the world and navigate well within it. Do not be foolish and understand what the will of the Lord is. And we go, well, what is it, Paul? He says, don't get drunk with wine, that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God. A wise life is one filled with God's Spirit. And then he walks us through 5 participles of what happens when you're filled with the Spirit of God, that we address one another in love, hymns, and spiritual songs, that we'll be kind to one another, that we sing songs to our Lord and praise him, that we give him thanks. And then he says, we'll submit to one another out of reverence for Christ as wives to their husbands. And so he naturally, as Paul tells us, and as we see in Ephesians, this naturally moves into this husband and wife section for talking about here's how to live a life of wisdom to here's how to live a spiritually filled life. And it's interesting because you're here all the time. Well, don't Christians get divorced just as much as non-Christians do? W. Bradley Wilcox is a leading sociologist at the University of Virginia, and he's done some testing on that theory by doing a number of surveys, and what he found was that what he calls active conservative Protestants, that's active, they are involved in their church. They're involved in their faith and serving. And conservative, not meaning so much politically, but conservative that they believe the word of God and they believe they are saved by the grace of God. So active conservative Protestants get divorced 35% less than their counterparts. So it's designed by God, so it really does work. But not only is it designed by God, but it's to display God. Marriage was meant and designed by God to display Him. God has designed marriage to display something about Himself. That when man and woman come together as husband and wife, that is meant to show that Jesus wants to come together with His people, the church. Because the reality is that Christianity isn't just morality and forgiveness. It's about love, forgiving of sin to get out of the way so that God can move in and be bound together with us in a loving relationship. So that's the joy of the Christian. That God has come together with us to be bound in a covenantal love, not in a contractual love, in a covenantal love. And to be together with God because He's promised to never leave us and never forsake us. And then God says, and I gave you this institution called marriage to be a shining picture of what the love of God and His people looks like. That when you enter into marriage, it's not just for your delight, but it's also to display the glory and Christ's love for His church. So as Christians, that is what is so powerful about entering into marriage. And that's why it's so important, because nowadays we do see, just like I said, marriage is coming under attack. If we move away from God's word, we move away from the instruction of what was originally designed and created to be great for us. So women, and especially the single ones, make sure you take your cue from the church. And men, you were created to lead. God wants you to lead, and you're accountable for it. So make sure you take your cues from Christ. Amen.